Hi, good morning, everybody. I hope everyone had a wonderful Chag, and it was a time of Chayrut and Gula, redemption, and to continue to be a redemption for all of Klal Yisrael. I don't know if you got the word. I have to go to Chutz La'aretz next week for around 3 weeks. So I don't know. Maybe we can do Skype. I don't know.
Good idea.
But so this is going to be the last shiur till the beginning of June, really. So that we have a long break. Most of it is business or Sameach business. They have their annual multi-city tour, but I also will be going to my son's chasna too. So, so I have a personal reason as well. Well, okay, if you want, I have till mincha, but okay. So, because this is a one-time share with a big break, I still have something about Pesach I want to share with you, and it's not even something I said at the hotel. So, you were going to be okay. And that is, I want to talk a little bit, a very, very fascinating psak of the Avnei Nezer, about the Apikomen. You know, the perennial problem that many people have is, we all know, although we'll see why, that there is lechatchila, an obligation to eat the Apikomen before chatzos, before midnight, and we'll see what midnight is. And often it is a problem because the Seder goes long, etc. And especially if the women of the household or the men who like to cook prepared a very lavish, fancy meal, it may be very frustrating to have the Bnei Torah in the house kind of say, you know, right after the Korech, well, we've got to eat Apikomen, we'll just skip the meal tonight, etc. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the background of this and a very interesting psak of the Avnei Nezer, which is truly ingenious, but it is not really followed, but it is a psak to be aware of. First of all, who was the Avnei Nezer? The Avnei Nezer was a Hasidish Rebbe called the Sochatchover Rebbe, and he was at the beginning of the middle of the 19th century, very beginning of the 20th century. His son, who's become very well known in recent years, is the Shemesh Shmuel. Shemesh Shmuel is a very popular Hasidish commentary on the Chumash that many people love to learn. That is the son of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer himself, in a way, but for me to say that, it reminds me when people say, oh, the Stipler, who was the Stipler? Ever heard of the Stipler? Yeah, the Stipler was Rav Chaim Kineski's father. I mean, the Stipler was a very, very great gadol in his own right. The Avnei Nezer was a phenomenally great gadol in his own right. The Avnei Nezer, interestingly enough, was the son-in-law of the Kutzker Rebbe. Kutzker Rebbe is a fascinating, enigmatic figure in the history of Hasidus. For many, many years, for almost 20 years, he was a hermit. He refused to see Hasidim at all. He would lock himself up in a room, and Hasidim would just wait outside of his door all the time. And every week or so, he would come out and say, "You're a bunch of idiots," and kind of go back in. So the Kutzker Rebbe is known for very, very sharp, very incisive thoughts. Why he isolated himself is a bit of a mystery, and people have all sorts of speculations why that is so. But what's interesting is that the Avnei Nezer writes, and the Avnei Nezer is a great, great posek and master of halacha, that his derech in Talmudic learning he got from his father-in-law, the Kutzker Rebbe, which is fascinating because we normally don't associate the Kutzker with great halachic learning, and yet the Avnei Nezer, who undoubtedly was a very, very great gadol in Psak Halacha, said that everything in his Derech HaLimud was from the Kutzker Rebbe and the like. So be it as it may, the Avnei Nezer really has two sets of Svarim. One is a Sefer you may have heard of if you learn Hilchos Shabbos, Eglei Tal, which is really a classic, classic study of the Malachos of Shabbos, one of the great, great Sifrei Yesod. And the other is a multi-volume Sheilos Tshuvos Avnei Nezer. Again, it's not as widely used in the Litvisha Torah world because, you know, it's a little bit of a different derech, but it is a very, very prominent sefer. Okay, so now, with that little biographical background, let's talk about the problem of the Apikomen. There is actually a machlokas rishonim if the Apikomen needs to be eaten before midnight or not. Now, what is this based on? It's based on the following idea. The Apikomen is said to be a zecher, a commemoration of the Korban Pesach. Right? Why do we eat the apikomen? Because just as the Korban Pesach was eaten not in the beginning of the meal, the Korban Pesach was eaten as a dessert. And there is actually a halacha, the Pesach is ne'achal al hasova. The Pesach has to be eaten, not when you're stuffed, that's not right, and that's not true for the apikomen either, but when you're no longer ravenously hungry. And since the afikomen is a zecher l'korban Pesach, it has to be eaten within the zman of the korban Pesach. Now, let's think about this. So now we have to go backwards a little bit. What is the zman of the korban Pesach? When there was a Beis HaMikdash, and when we ate the korban Pesach, how much time did we have to eat the korban Pesach? So this is actually a machlokes tanoim in the Gemara itself. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, whom we encountered before about reciting the Exodus at night, achilas korban Pesach is only until midnight. This is doraisa. You can only eat the korban Pesach until chatzos, and the reason is because chatzos was the moment of makas Bechoros, and that's the beginning of the redemption, and he understands that the Korban Pesach is eaten as a precursor to redemption, and once the redemption begins, you no longer eat the Korban Pesach, right? The Korban Pesach was the merit for the redemption. Therefore, according to his Shita, Min HaTorah, not Midrabanan, Min HaTorah, Achilas Pesach is until Chatzos. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Rabbi Akiva says, Achilas Korban Pesach is until Amud HaShachar, until the morning. Because he says that since the Jews were, again, now this is assuming, we did discuss this very, very briefly. When did the Jews leave Mitzrayim? Did they leave Mitzrayim at the crack of dawn? They certainly didn't leave at night, that much we know. Did they leave at the crack of dawn, or did they leave at high noon? Right, that's a machlokas, bi etzem hayom hazeh. But it seems from the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva's view in the Gemara, they left at the crack of dawn, because he basically says the Korban Pesach can be eaten until Amud HaShachar, that is dawn. And again, the machlokas basically is because the Torah says, V'yachaltem oso b'chipazon. Now literally that means you eat it in a hurried manner, but the Gemara's drash is you eat it until the time of hurrying out. So Rabbi Akiva says it's the hurrying out of the Jewish people which occurred in the morning. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says, it is when the Egyptians came to us and said, get out of here, which was right at the time of Makas Bechoros. Okay? Now this is a machlokes, again, not by Afikomen, this is a machlokes by Korban Pesach. Okay? We understand this. Machlokes Tanoim. Now, who do we paskin like? What is the halacha? Again, I'm talking about Korban Pesach, not Afikomen yet. So the truth is, it is a machlokes rishonim, who the halacha is like. Normally, the normal rules of psak halacha would indicate that halacha is normally like Rabbi Akiva against another sage. But there are various proofs that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. So we will call this, for now, an unresolved machlokes about the Korban Pesach. However, let me point out that the Rambam does paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that you can eat the Pesach all night. Again, please be sure, you have to compartmentalize here. I am not yet talking about the Afikomen at all. I'm only talking about the Korban Pesach itself. But the Rambam adds a certain wrinkle. The Rambam has a very interesting wrinkle. That although min haTorah, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that the Korban Pesach can be eaten the entire night, but rabbinically, it has to be finished before Chatzos. And the reason that is so is based on the first mission in Brachos, the first mission in Shas, Kedei Laharchik Adam Min Hoaveira, in order that to distance a person from sin. Because what's going to happen is, if you have the whole night, you may decide to take a little nap around 3 o'clock for a half an hour or so, figuring I'll eat the Korban Pesach after my nap, and what's going to happen is you'll wake up at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, and it's too late. So in order to guarantee that you will eat the Korban Pesach, we say do it before midnight. And by the way, that's the same logic for Kriya Shema itself. Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv can be said, Ma'ariv can be said all night until dawn, but L'chatchila, you are mechuyev rabbinically to say it before Chatzos, Kedei Laharchik Adam Min Ha'aveira. So it turns out that we actually have three views in Halacha. Some poskim follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria that min haTorah, the Korban Pesach, must be eaten by Chatzos. Other views say we follow Rabbi Akiva, the Korban Pesach may be eaten the entire night. There is the third view that says that although we follow Rabbi Akiva, that the Korban Pesach may be eaten the entire night, d'oraisa, but rabbinically, it must be consumed before Chatzos in order to avoid the possibility of somebody sinning by leaving it over until the morning. By the way, the sin is a double-fold sin. It is a sin that you didn't eat the Korban Pesach. There's also a sin of lo sosiru mimenu. In other words, there's a law in the Torah not to let it be nosar until the morning. Right? That's, in fact, it's an interesting dichotomy. The Gemara says that even though, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, you can't eat the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, but the lav of Nosar is not until the morning. So it says, lo sosiru mimenu abagi. So, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, there is a significance to the morning as well, because, of course, according to that, you kind of have a double bind. If it's after midnight, what am I supposed to do? I can't eat the Korban Pesach, and Baruch Hashem, I don't have the lav until the morning, but I can't do anything to take away that lav. So it's kind of like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. What's Eich Nafala Simon? What's the old expression?
Yes.
Okay. Right, you're waiting for the Asimon to drop. That's an interesting question. It's a very mudna, it's a very bizarre type of scenario that you are not transgressing the negative commandment of no sar until the morning, but from the hours between Chatzos and Amud HaShachar, you can't eat it. Okay. The Or Sameach actually suggests an interesting chiddush. He says, yeah.
If that should happen, one has to burn it?
Yes, but you don't burn it. You do burn it, but you don't burn it until the morning. And by the way, since you don't burn it on Yom Tov, you don't burn it till Chol HaMoed morning. That's right. Now, the Or Sameach suggests as a chiddush that even though, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, you don't have the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, you can eat it as a peace offering, because a Korban Pesach is actually a type of shlamim. So the maisa, you could eat it, but you don't have the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Okay? So these are the views. Okay, this is part one. These are the views regarding the Korban Pesach. Okay? Not the Afikoman, the Korban Pesach. So now the question becomes, how do I apply these different views to the Afikoman? Now the Afikoman is, of course, not the Korban Pesach, but the Afikomen is a Zecher LePesach. So, the Poskim say quite logically that the time for the consumption of the Afikomen should be correlated to the time of eating the Korban Pesach. So, if you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, that the Korban Pesach has to be consumed as a Korban Pesach by Chatzos, the Afikomen that is a Zecher LeKorban Pesach must also be consumed by Chatzos. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that the Korban Pesach could be eaten the whole night, the Afikomen could be eaten the whole night. Now, what about the third view? That's a little interesting. What if you hold that I follow Rabbi Akiva, that the Korban Pesach could be eaten all night, but rabbinically, there would be an obligation to eat it before Chatzos, Kidei Laharchik Adam Min Ho'aveira? Would you apply that reasoning to Afikoman? So the Rambam actually says not. It's not clear why not. The Rambam actually says, remember, the Rambam is the one that paskins, like Rabbi Akiva, you can eat the Pesach all night, but rabbinically you have to eat it before Chatzos. When it comes to the Afikomen, the Rambam simply says, you have the whole night to eat it, because we follow Rabbi Akiva. It's a good kasha. Why don't we apply the paradigm and some poskim do, but let's say the Rambam, why doesn't the Rambam apply the paradigm k'dei laharchik adam min ha'aveira by the afikoman itself? But he doesn't. In other words, according to the Rambam, he correlates afikoman to the Doraisa level of Korban Pesach, and therefore the Rambam paskins, if Doraisa Korban Pesach is the whole night, the Rambam paskins, the afikomen is the whole night, even though by Pesach itself we have a rabbinic decree, k'dei laharchik adam min ha'aveira.
Yeah. Why wouldn't Rebbe Elizabeth Azari then say, since it's only a zecher, now we should only be rabbinic edition?
Yeah, so this we say not, because, obviously, the rule of an afikomen being a zecher is a rabbinic rule, and that's obviously you're correct. The zecher is legamri a rabbanan, but when the rabbanan were koveya, when you eat the afikomen, they said you have to eat it within the Torah zman of Korban Pesach. In other words, the rabbanan were koveya the zecher to correspond. So now it turns out the following. There, oh, by the way, just as a little aside. What is the definition of chatzos, right? Chatzos. There is a big machlokas, exactly. Now, obviously, the word 12 midnight has no meaning. That has no particular relevance on anything. But the question is, how do you compute chatzos? So there are two different views. How do you compute chatzos? Some say you simply take the total number of night, or the total number of nighttime hours, meaning you count. Of course, when do you count? That's also a question. You either count from sunset to sunrise, or you count from Tesa Kochavim to Amud HaShachar, whatever number of hours it is, if there's 8 hours of night, if there are 6 hours of night, if there are 7 hours of night, and you simply divide that in half, which would make it the middle of the night, meaning the middle of the nighttime hours. Now, that's a very complicated calculation, because there are so many different ways of computing night, Tzeisa Kochavim, etc. Which Tzeisa Kochavim? Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein gave a different way of computing Chatzos, which will be a fixed computation. Again, it's nothing to do with 12 midnight, that's the clock. And that is, you measure a day from the point from astronomical noon to astronomical noon, meaning noon, which again is not 12 noon, but noon is where the sun is directly overhead. Right? So from sun directly overhead to sun directly overhead will always be 24 hours, whether it's winter or summer. Noon to noon, and again I mean noon, true noon to true noon, is 24 hours. You count 12 hours from astronomical noon, and 12 fixed hours will be exactly 50% of the sun's, or the Earth's revolution around the sun, or the Earth's rotation around the Earth's rotation on its axis, and that will be Chatzos. So according to Rav Moshe, Chatzos Laila is 12 fixed hours after astronomical high noon. But whatever it is. But the Avni Nezer now says the following idea. So it turns out that if you paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, the afikomen has to be eaten before Chatzos. If you paskin like Rabbi Akiva, the afikomen can be eaten after Chatzos. And we don't say k'dei laharchik adam min ha'aveira. Now, we now have another problem. There's another halacha that you're not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach. Again, I'm going to go back to the Korban Pesach. Right? You're not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach unless it's water or the remaining cups of wine or the like. And the reason is because now this is a rabbinic requirement, right? The isser of eating after the Korban Pesach is a drabanan dekadin, and there are two different reasons that are given for it. One reason that is given for it is we want you to leave the Seder with the taste of the Pesach in your mouth. It's a way of inspiring you, making you think about the Korban Pesach. The other reason the Yushalmi says is that the Chachamim made a gezeira, because the Torah prohibits you breaking the bones of the Korban Pesach. And if a person's still hungry, they will tend to break the bones and suck the marrow. So we prohibit you eating after the Korban Pesach to ensure that you will eat your fill before the Korban Pesach, and then you will not come to the breaking of the bones. Now, because of this, now this is a drabbanan. Even by, see, unlike chatzos, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which is the Araisa, eating after the Korban Pesach, even when there's a Korban Pesach, is only rabbinic. It's not min haTorah. But the Chachamim applied that to the Afikomen as well. Right? We know the halacha. Right? This is what we tell the wise son who asks the question. Ein maftirin achara pesach afikomen, which again, it's a difficult sentence to translate actually, but maftirin actually means announce. We don't announce after the Korban Pesach afikoman, which actually means bring out the desserts. So afikomen literally means afik kaman, bring it out before us, because we want the Tam Pesach to be nisher b'piv. Now, here's where the Avnei Nezer, all of this is well established, this is not chiddush, this is not controversial. But here is where the Avnei Nezer has a tremendous chiddush, which is controversial. You're not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat after the Afikoman. Now, how long does that prohibition remain? It obviously doesn't mean you could never eat again. Right? So, wouldn't be such a bad idea. Okay, after Pesach. But, you know, so how long does that issue remain? Well, we all know the next morning it doesn't apply, but what about even at the night? So here's what, this is the Avnei Nezer's Kiddush. The Isser of eating after the Korban Pesach remains in effect as long as there is a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach. As long as there is a mitzvah to keep eating the Korban Pesach, you got to have that taste in your mouth. Once the mitzvah is over, there is no Isser of eating. Therefore, the Avnei Nezer says the following chiddush, and you'll see what he does with it. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the Korban Pesach must be eaten before Chatzos, you are actually allowed to eat other food after Chatzos.
Wow.
So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you can have a whole meal after the Korban Pesach or after the Afikoman, as long as you do it after Chatzos. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Akiva, this would not be possible, because even if you ate the Korban Pesach early, but since the Zaman of the Korban Pesach is until Amud HaShachar, the prohibition of eating after the Pesach of the Afikoman will be until Amud HaShachar. So this already, now again, I haven't yet shown you the practical thing that he does with this, but the theoretical chiddush of the Avnei Nezer is that he understands that the Iser of eating after the Korban Pesach / Afikomen is only kol zman there is a mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach, and therefore when there's no mitzvah there is no prohibition, because the concept of leaving the taste in your mouth is as long as there's still a mitzvah to be involved with the Korban Pesach. So based on this chiddush, now this is the part that's the chiddush, because there are many shitos that say no, you can't eat that whole night, and I'll talk about why that would be so. Okay. So based on this chiddush, this is what the Avnei Nezer says. Obviously, if we ask ourselves in the abstract, should I eat the Afikomen before Chatzos or after Chatzos, we would tell you eat before Chatzos, because maybe the din is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now what if you miss the Chatzos deadline? What would we tell you to do? Eat after Chatzos, because maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So the bottom line is, you try not to miss the deadline. If you miss the deadline, eat it anyway, because the Rambam, for example, paskins like Rabbi Akiva. But the problem is, if you want to meet the deadline, you might lose out your meal. We don't want you to lose out your meal. So this is what the Avnei Nezer says. The Avnei Nezer says, let's imagine Chatzos, I'll make up a number, is 1 o'clock. So let's imagine you finished your Maggid at a quarter to 1 or 20 to 1. And you know, you washed, you had your matzah, you had your Moror, you had your Korach, but Chatzos is coming very, very, very soon. So now you have a certain dilemma, we would think. If you eat the Afikomen before Chatzos, you can't eat afterwards, no meal. If you eat your meal, you're going to eat the Afikomen after Chatzos. So what do you do? So this is what the Avnei Nezer says. The The Avnei Nezer says, at 5 minutes to one, you didn't even have your meal yet, 5 minutes to one, pick up a piece of Shmorah Matzah. It doesn't even have to be the one, by the way, that the kids stole or the kids hid. You could use any Shmorah Matzah for Avi Cohen. I mean, I know this will disappoint a lot of children. They really cannot blackmail you because unless they take all the matzah, you're gonna be okay.
You hide a piece anyhow.
So you hide your own. Right. That's right. But here's it. So it's 5 to 1. You didn't have your meal yet. Pick up the matzah and say the following: if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I intend to fulfill the mitzvah of Afikoman with this matzah. If the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, I do not intend to fulfill the mitzvah of Afikoman. Okay, at that point, you cannot eat for the next 5 minutes, because if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you were yotze the Afikoman and you can't eat, but the only issue of eating is until midnight. So don't eat for 5 minutes.
You eat
the piece of Afikoman, but you can't eat anything else for the next 5 minutes. At 1 o'clock, you can have your meal mimanifshach. If the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that I was yotze the Afikoman, okay, but now that it's after Chatzos, I could eat. If the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, I didn't have the Afikoman yet. So I eat my whole meal till 3 o'clock in the morning if I want. And then I take a piece of matzah at the end of the meal, and I just go in reverse. If the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the first piece I ate was the Afikoman, this is just a piece of matzah. If the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, this is the Afikoman, and the first piece that I ate was just a piece of matzah. And in that way, you literally have your matzah and eat it too, meaning to say that you're able to fulfill the mitzvah of Afikoman before Chatzos, and at the same time have your whole meal and eat another Afikoman after Chatzos. And this is based on the uncertainty whether the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah or like Rabbi Akiva, and in that way you can eat the Afikoman twice on a Tanai, and the Tanai is in reverse both ways. In other words, the first Tanai is 5 to 1. If the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this is Afikoman, and the matzah I'll eat at 3 o'clock is just extra matzah. If the halacha is like Rabbi, if the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, the first matzah at 5 to 1 is just matzah. The Afikoman is eaten at 3 o'clock. Either way, I can have a meal based on the Avnei Nezer's Chiddush that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you can actually have food after Chatzos. The only thing you have to be careful of is that you cannot eat misafek from after the first Afikoman till Chatzos. So if that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or a half an hour, that will disable you, because if the din is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, you've had the Afikoman and you're not allowed to eat after the Afikoman. Right, so this is a famous
too much for your legal advice.
Right, okay. Well, this is called the famous Eitzah, the famous Tanai of the Avnei Nezer that people use. Again, it's very, very controversial. The Mishnah Berurah, number one, doesn't bring it. And the Mishnah Berurah simply says, eat the Afikoman before Chatzos, and if you don't, eat it after Chatzos, b'dieved, and then either way you can't eat. The fact that he doesn't suggest such a Tanai, I mean, he doesn't say you can't, he doesn't address it, but the implication would be, if there would be such an Eitzah, presumably the Chafetz Chaim would have endorsed it. He didn't endorse it. That's also an interesting question. Are you medayek that the Mishnah Berurah rejects certain leniencies because he didn't bring it? Meaning, is an omission considered to be an affirmative psak? Those who make the Sedarim in Chutz La'aretz, when you have two Sedarim in Chutz La'aretz, so a second Seder in particular often starts late because you're not allowed to begin. So there aren't many people that have a minhag that they're not makbid. I'm not talking about chashuva people that they're only makbid on Chatzos the Leil Seder, the first Seder, and they're not makbid on Chatzos the second Seder. So for them, l'chol ha'pachot, it would be wise to follow the Avni Nezer's Tanai, even not for the first set. By the way,
say something. Huh? Do you have to say something before you eat, if you're eating before chatzot?
Yes, you do have to say.
I'm thinking that it's the afikoma.
No, because if you don't make it Tanai, you're in trouble. Because here's
so
the
problem. You have to make it.
No, the reason why that's important is, even if Rabbi Akiva gives you the whole night, but if you ate something for the afikoman before chatzos, you are forbidden till the next day. So you have to specifically stipulate that, like Rabbi Akiva, this is not the afikoman. Because if you made it the afikoman like Rabbi Akiva, you would be disabled from eating no matter when you ate the afikoman. So you have to specifically articulate that if the din is like Rabbi Akiva, I don't want this to be the afikoman. Okay. So this is the Avnei Nezer's tonight. Now, the reason why some opinions say it doesn't work, I'll give you two reasons. First of all, there are opinions that say that the Isser of eating after the Afikomen is the whole night, whether you paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah or Rabbi Akiva. So it turns out, if you were Yaitse the Afikomen like any opinion, you wouldn't be allowed to eat. That's one idea. But there's a second idea, and that is the following. The Avnei Nezer's logic works only if you assume that the only reason of eating afikoman by chatzos is because of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But if you assume, which is not the Rambam's assumption, but some Rishonim do assume it, that even like Rabbi Akiva, the afikoman must be eaten before chatzos, Kedei laharchik adamino aveira, then the Avnei Nezer's logic doesn't work, because it turns out you have to eat the first afikoman even like Rabbi Akiva, and if that's so, you will not be allowed to eat the entire night. Okay. So that's a an issue. I also want to mention too that Rav David Cohen, a very very chashuv Rav and Posek in Flatbush, some of you might know him. There are actually two brothers. There's the famous Rav David Cohen, Rosh Hashiva of Hebron also, but this is the American Rav David Cohen, has a very interesting Haggadah. He actually writes that there's a totally different reason why you have to have the Tam Pesach and the Tam Afikomen in your mouth, and that is because Leil Pesach is called Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim is a night that is set aside, and again, we have many interpretations. It's a night of special divine protection. That's why some people leave their doors open. That is why the Tehillim associated with Kriyat Shema Lamita don't have to be said. But Shimurim might also be a remez that for the entire night you should preserve the taste of the Korban Pesach. Now, if Leil Shimurim is a special mitzvah to be connected to the Pesach, it has nothing to do with chatzos or the morning, and therefore, according to that, you wouldn't be allowed to eat the entire night, even like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? So the Tanai wouldn't work. But be it as it may, it is something to be aware of. Again, this is a very, very famous psak of the Avnei Nezer, the Tanai of the Avnei Nezer. But you can see already what you might call the Chassidish sharpness of the Pailasha Pilpul. Okay, now all right. So that's a bit of a shirayim with respect to the Korban Pesach and the Afikoman. So now I want to share with you something about Sefiras HaOmer, and this will duplicate a little bit about what I said on Pesach, but I'll say something new as well. That is, we know that on the second day of Pesach there is a mitzvah to start counting. Now, what is the Omer again? The Omer is a measure of barley flour that was actually coarse barley flour that was part of it was sacrificed on the Mizbeach, part of it was eaten by the Kohanim, and Omer is really nothing more than a measurement. In fact, the Omer is a measure of barley that is equal to the amount of man that fell every day in the Midbar, which in turn is equal to the amount of flour from which you have to take off challah. So the measurements are uncertain, but that's between, as you know, approximately 2.5 pounds to 5 pounds. Right? That is the Omer. And the Omer has a very, very important function. There is an Isser min HaTorah to eat Chadash, to eat the grain of the new year, that until the Korban HaOmer is brought. And once the Korban HaOmer is brought, that permits the Chadash to be eaten, or to put it another way, the Chadash becomes Yashan at that point. Now, Bizman HaZeh, of course, we do not yet have the Korban HaOmer, so the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a drasha that when there is no Korban HaOmer, it is the day itself that matters, meaning you cannot eat Chadash until the 16th of Nisan, and the morning, now D'oraisa, the morning of the 16th of Nisan, when there's no Korban HaOmer, will matter the Chadash. Midrabanan, they prohibited it until the morning of the 17th. Okay, that's a separate one day later. Now this halacha is still in effect, meaning there is an Isser in the Torah called Chadash, and according to many opinions, in Eretz Yisrael at least, the grain is prohibited min HaTorah. Now of course, any reputable hashgacha, and probably even disreputable hashgachas, will only certify Yashan. But in Chutz La'aretz, there's a huge, huge, huge machlokas. Does the law of Chadash and Yashan apply to the grains of Chutz La'aretz? This is a huge machlokas. Now, based on the normal halachic rules, it's a mitzvah tluya bi'aretz, mitzvahs that are connected to things that grow from the ground, whether it's truma, meiser, only apply in Eretz Yisrael. There would be no particular reason to impose an Isser of Chadash and Chutz La'aretz. Nevertheless, according to one man d'amar in the Gemara, since it says by the Isser of Chadash, b'chol moshvo seichem, that's a bit of an unusual language, wherever you live, there is a man d'amar that says that the Isser of Chadash is noheg b'chutz La'aretz. Now that is why in America, a lot of the some of the mainstream hashgachas like the OU will certify products that are chadash because they follow the lenient view, which is basically the Rama himself follows the lenient view that says that chadash is not noeg in chutz la'aretz. However, the equivalent of mahadrin hashgachos and the like will only certify products that are yashan. And of course, the good thing is, all Chadash will eventually become Yashan. Meaning to say, in other words, the way it works is this. The way it works is, it all depends on when the plant took root. Even if, for example, so anything that was essentially planted, with a few days for rooting, anything that was planted before the second day of Pesach, when the second day of Pesach comes, that is now called Yashan. So even if it's harvested afterwards, it can be eaten. But if it was planted after the second day of Pesach, it is called Chadash until next year. So as a result, really, anything that reaches the market now, this is a safe time of year, any product, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, that reaches the market now, by definition, was planted before Pesach. So halachically, it's going to be Yashan. And that's going to be, I'm giving you very approximate dates, that's going to be by and large true all the way until Sukkot. I'm giving you approximate dates, these are not meant to be exact, because the way the harvest season works, anything that was planted after Pesach is not going to reach market into a product till after Sukkot. So to just give you a very broad general approximation, the Yashan Chadash danger zone is from Sukkot to Pesach, Pesach to Sukkot, you are safe. Now, again, in Eretz Yisrael, Hashgachas will take care of it, don't worry about it. In America, it really depends. If you want to be Machmer and Chadash and Yashin, which is a very proper Chumrah to be Machmer on, it's not an extreme thing, then you have to be careful. There is a free guide available from people in Lakewood, which kind of uses product codes. If you know how to read product codes, which I really don't, you can actually tell when something was processed, when it was received, etc. and you know, there you can get the list of when something is okay. But now I know people who actually store up. They buy their year's worth of grain, whether it's pasta, cookies, whatever it would be. They buy it now, so for sure they have yashan that's going to help them for the entire year. Okay, be it as it may. But the Omer is very important in that way, because Bizman HaMikdash, it was the Korban HaOmer that matired the Achila of Chadash. Ad Kedei Kach, that the Talmud Yerushalmi says a very fascinating thing. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that the first Pesach, remember, the Jews crossed the Yarden, right? Moshe Rabbeinu died the 7th of Adar. The Jewish people mourned Moshe for 30 days. And then the 7th of Nisan, they were told, prepare themselves for in 3 days they're going to cross the Yarden. And remember, the Yarden split also. So when did they cross the Yarden? The 10th of Nisan. That's recorded in the book of Yoshua. They crossed the Yarden the 10th of Nisan. And that year they brought a Korban Pesach in Gilgal. That was the temporary Mishkan then. But the Talmud Yerushalmi says that first year they did not eat matzah. They ate the Korban Pesach and they did not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Reason? Because they were not yet permitted to eat from the grain of Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't have any yashan. They didn't have any yashan. Everything was chadash, and they couldn't eat until the second day of Pesach, when they brought the Korban HaOmer. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, it's similar, just to give you a parallel, just like we say by Megillas Esther, they fasted, and one of the days of the fast was the first day of Pesach. They didn't fulfill the mitzvos that year. Well, much earlier, the very first Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, they did not eat matzah at the Seder. The Talmud Yerushalmi asks, this is a kasha that we've discussed a lot of times, why didn't they say asei docha lo sasa, let the positive mitzvah of matzah set aside the prohibition of chadash? And the Talmud Yerushalmi says that it was a rabbinic decree, because the asei is only on one kazayas, and they were afraid they would eat more than one kazayas, and therefore there was an early rabbinical decree. Very fascinating, a rabbinical decree, at least as early as Yeshua ben Nun, if not more, that you do not say asei docha lo tasa on matzah, because you might eat more than you need for the mitzvah itself. Okay, so this is the idea of chodesh. Now the Torah then says, from the day that you bring the omer, you count 7 weeks until the holiday of Shavuos, and this is the mitzvah that we have called counting of the omer, counting the omer, sfiras haomer. So machlokas number one is the mitzvah of counting the Omer a da'oraisa or a drabanan? Bizman HaMikdash, for sure it's da'oraisa. But what about Bizman HaZeh? So here, Tosos' shita is that Sviras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is only a rabbinic decree. Why? Because min haTorah, look at the lashon of the pasuk, Usvartzem Lachem, you should start counting Mimacharat HaShabbat. Now that means not, as you know, that's a huge machlokes. The tzdukim say you start counting from Sunday after Pesach, because Shabbos means Saturday. We say Shabbat is the first day of Pesach, which is called a day of Shavisa. But then it says, when do you start counting? Miyom haviyachem es omer hatnufa. From the day that you bring the Omer that is waved, right? That's before it was sacrificed, it would be waved. So Tosfos says, when there is no Korban Omer, the mitzvah is only Midrabanan Zecher LeMikdash. That is Shita Satosfos. The Rambam Shita is that Sviras Omer is independent of Korban Omer, and therefore, even when there's no Korban Omer, it is Da'oraisa. So the Rambam Shita is it's Da'oraisa. Now, there is an interesting Hesber of Rav Chaim, because the Chaira, Rav Chaim, raises the question, how can the Rambam say that? The Torah says, Beferish, you start counting from the day you bring the Omer. I mean, for the Rambam to say it's the Oraisa, even though there's no Korban HaOmer, you have a problem. So Rav Chaim wants to actually say that the Rambam goes l'shitaso, because the Rambam's view is you could bring Korbanos b'zman hazeh. The Rambam's opinion is that the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis is in its full force, and therefore this is a day that you could. We don't, because maybe the halacha is not like the Rambam. But the Rambam makes Sfirah d'Oraisa not because he disassociates it from the Korban, but because he holds you could bring the Korban today. Okay, but that's a separate issue. Now there's a third sheet in Rishonim, which needs a lot of explanation. And this is a shita of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham may be a little less known to people, but any student of Halacha knows. The Talmud of the Rush. And the very fact that he's called Rabbeinu indicates a certain deference. A Talmud of the Rush, and one of the great, great poskim, the Beis Yosef, brings him literally hundreds, if not thousands, of times. He wrote, this is even before the tour, he wrote, maybe shortly after the tour, but he wrote himself codes of halacha that all the later poskim used tremendously. And Rabbeinu Yerucham says the following interesting chiluk, strange chiluk. He says, with counting the Omer, there's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to count days, and a mitzvah to count weeks. So he says, the counting of the days is min ha-Torah, but the counting of the weeks is only midrabanan. Now, where do you get that? Days is d'oraisa, weeks are d'rabbanan. So what's interesting is that if you read the pasuk very, very carefully, you can actually see this. Depends how you translate it. Let's say the pasuk again in Parshas Emor. Usvartem lochem mimacharas haShabbos, from the second day of Pesach, miyom haviyachem es omer hatznufa, from the day that you bring the Omer, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiena, 7 complete weeks. There is then an Esnachta, a semicolon, Ad Mimacharas HaShabbos HaShviyis Tisperu Chamishim Yom. So you'll notice that the Pasuk in Parshas Emor does contain two different statements. Usvartem lachem sheva shabbosos tamimos tiyena. That is the counting of weeks. In that part of the pasuk, it says miyom haviyachem es omer hatnufa. After the esnachta, it does not connect it to the korban. Right after the esnachta, it says ad mimacharas hashabbos hashviyis tisbru chamishim yom. But it does not say on that part of the pasuk, miyom haviyachem et omer hatznufa. So Rabbeinu Yerucham says the smichut of Shavuos, counting the weeks to Korban, indicates that the bringing of the Omer is only a condition in Sviras Shavuos. It is not a condition in Sviras Hayamin. This is what Rabbeinu Yerucham wants to be mechadish. Now, in truth, I think there's a little bit of a remez to Rabbeinu Yerucham in the minhag of how Sfardim, many Sfardim count. Let's say it's the 16th day of the Omer. Okay, so we would, Ashkenazim would say, Hayom Arba Asar Yom, Shehem Shnei, Hayom Shisha Asar Yom, Shehem Shnei Shavuot, Ushnei Yamim Ba'Omer, or La Omer, that's not it. Okay. Now, the way many Sfardim count is this. Hayom shisha asar yom ba'omer shehem shnei shavuos shnei yamin. They put the word ba'omer on the days before they do the week. Right, you've heard that. So part of why that's so might be because according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, since the counting of the days is a Torah requirement and the addition of the week is only Zecher LeMikdash, you want to complete the Ba'omer or the La'omer, whatever your Girsa is, on that part that is Minat Torah rather than Rabbanik. So that might be a remez a little bit. to Rabbeinu Yeruchim's Rabbeinu Yeruchim Shita. The Or Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha, gives us a logical argument for Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and he says the following. He says that the concept of days and weeks is based on the notion that Shavuos itself is a bifurcated chag. Shavuos is a one-day chag, in the sense that, we're talking about in Eretz Yisrael, in the sense that it's only a one-day Yom Tov. But Shavuos is also a seven-day chag. 7 days. In what way is Shavuos a seven-day chag? Because when you were Oler Regel, when you went up to the Beis HaMikdash for the Shalosh Regalim, and you are mechuyev to go to the Azarah, to go to the courtyard, and bring a korban, lo yeroa panai reikam, you actually had 7 days. If you didn't do it on the first day of the chag, you would have 7 days. The same way you have 7 days for Pesach, you have 7 days for Shavuos. Now the Gemara even asks, why don't you have 8 days? Because on Sukkot, you could bring the Olat Re'iyah even on Shmini Atzeres. So the Gemara says, Tafasta Merubah, meaning we're not sure, do I compare Shavuos to Pesach, which is seven, or Sukkot, which is eight? So we at least know seven. So it turns out, Bizman HaMikdash, there was an aspect of Shavuos that lasted 7 days. And that is the ability to bring the pilgrimage offering. Bizman HaZeh, we don't have a pilgrimage offering, so Shavuos is only 1 day. So Rav Meir Simcha says the following. When Shavuos was both a 7 day chag and a 1 day chag, you counted towards Shavuos in days and in weeks. You count in the units of the chag itself. Bizman HaZeh, Shavuos is no longer a 7 day chag because there's no Olat Re'iyah. It is only a 1 day chag. So the days is Doraisa, and the Shavuos is Zecher LeMikdash, right? Now, the only way, we still have one little commemoration that Shavuos is kind of 7 days. And that is, you may recall, many people have a minhag that they do not recite Tachanun for 6 days after Shavuos. In Chutzlar, some people will add, 2 days and then another 6 days. And that's because it still had a status of a Yom Tov, because the Olas Re'iyah could have been brought during that time. Okay, so this is the basis of Rabbeinu Yeruchim's Shita. Now, let me just end with this. I just want to point out that the mitzvah of counting days and weeks, whether it's both are Doraisa, whether they're both Darabanan, or whether the days are Doraisa and the weeks are Darabanan, whatever it is not exactly the way we do it. We do it more than you have to do. The mitzvah of counting weeks actually meant the conclusion of every week. So on day 7, you would say, this is 7 days, that's 1 week. On day 14, this is 14 days, that is 2 weeks. Day 21, this is day 20, 21 days, that is 3 weeks. There is no obligation, even al pi halacha, to count weeks in the middle of a week. So in my own example, when I said day 16, you wouldn't have to say, today is the 16th day, that is 2 weeks and 4 days. The mitzvah of counting weeks is, as every week is concluded, you count a week. So that part, the part that we count the weeks even in the middle of a week, that is clearly a minhag. That is, I mean, again, it's a minhag that's become a halacha, but it's a minhag, it is not part of the chiyuv of the law of the Gemara. So based on this, the Beis Halevi has a very, very fascinating chiddush. And again, I mentioned this in another shiur. The Beis Halevi says like this. The Beis Halevi became the Rav of Brisk in the 1870s. So, he was an old-fashioned Rav, a Volozhin of Rosh Hashiva, etc. So there were many maskilim in Brisk that weren't very happy that they got such a traditional rabbi. So they wanted a meeting with him because they heard he was open-minded, broad-minded. And they said, Brisk is a big city. We have a lot of people. We have people who are educated and interested in secular culture. So we need a Rav that lives with the times. But we hear that you're so strict, you're so machmir, you're not a progressive person. So we'd like you to reconsider some of your positions. So the Beis Halevi said to them, What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm very progressive. He says, I'm very lenient. I have many, many leniencies in halakha. So they were very, very excited to hear that. And they said, tell us about your leniencies in psak halakha. So he said, okay, I'll tell you my leniency. So the tremendous mekel, none of the other Orthodox rabbis go with this. And they were getting very excited. Maybe he's going to allow whatever it is, dry, you know, I don't know. They didn't have Carson, but whatever it is, doing something in Shabbos. He says, we know the halacha is that if you miss counting a day of Svira, totally, miss day and night, so you can no longer make a bracha. And the reason is because the Torah says that the counting of the Omer has to be Sheva Shabbatos Temimot, complete. If you miss a day, it's no longer complete. But the Beis Levi says, here is my chiddush. Since there are two different mitzvahs here, a mitzvah to count days and a mitzvah to count weeks, and the mitzvah of counting weeks is only day 7, day 14, day 21, day 28. So even if you miss a day in the middle and you can't make a bracha on the days, but you can make a bracha on the weeks. So let's say, for example, a person missed the 8th day. So he can no longer count on every day because his counting of days is not complete. But on day 14, he can make a bracha. Day 21, he can make a bracha. Day 28, he can make a bracha. Day 35, he can make a bracha. Day 42, he can make a bracha. Day 49, he can make a bracha. Because even if he's mafsid to mimot on yamim, he can still have to mimot on shavuos. He says, you see how progressive I am. He says, akula. So they were not impressed. This did not give them what they wanted. But it's a very, very fascinating, ingenious chiddush of the Beis Levi. Once again, I have to go back to the fact that the Mishnah Berurah does not bring such a psak, so the assumption is that the Chafetz Chaim would not agree with it. But as I say, the normal Eitza is, well, the preferred Eitza is not to miss a day, indeed. But the secondary Eitza is to hear the bracha. In other words, see, I cannot be motzi, you cannot be Yaitse with somebody's sphere. It's not like Kiddush. Sviras Omer is not a mitzvah that one person can do for another person. But it is a mitzvah that the bracha can be done. So as a result, you can hear the bracha and have the chazan or anybody be motzi you with the bracha. By the way, I even heard...
From then on, every day, yeah, you'd have to...
Every day, every day, every day. Now, I did hear, by the way, you know, the minhag in many shuls is that the rav counts the Omer, not the chazan. Everyone counts, but the Rav makes the bracha out loud. Now, the reason for that's an interesting issue why, actually Rav Soloveitchik said it's an interesting chiddush, because the original Sfiras HaOmer was a mitzvah on the Beis Din to count the Sanhedrin, to count the Omer. So the Rav kind of represents a connection to that Messiah. But most people give a simpler reason, and that is the Chazan might have forgotten the day, the Chazan might not be able to make the bracha, etc. It would be embarrassing for the chazan. So the assumption is that Rabbanim never forgets. That's the assumption. And as a result, the Rav is the one who we know didn't forget. So the question becomes, what if the Rav forgot? Right? What if the Rav forgot? Right? So people think, when a Rav says to the chazan, people think, oh, what a modest person. You know, sometimes it's modest. The Rav forgot too. So it is brought down, la halacha, that some poskim say that if it would be embarrassing for the Rav, he can count anyway. Others say the following Eitzah, and this is a very fascinating, this could work for a Chazan too. The Rav should speak to a friend, a confidant, and say, I'm going to make the bracha for you tonight, which is fascinating, meaning even if I can't make the bracha because I skipped a day, I could make a bracha for you who didn't skip a day. And therefore, the Rav would be motzi somebody with the bracha, even if he can't make it for himself. You see? So that would be an ace. He has a friend. He says, you know, I missed.
Yeah.
Say again?
But the friend doesn't say.
The friend does not say the bracha. The friend will be motzi, yotze with the Rav's bracha, and then kaf. Yeah.
Is it makubal able to make the bracha on the weeks? if you forgot the day.
Yeah, it's not mekubal. That's what I'm saying. The Beis Halevi is chiddush, but it's not, as far as I know, it's not mekubal. But it's a very, very fascinating chiddush. Okay, so you all be well. So, yeah. So our next share will be in the beginning of June before Shavuos.